Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Thank you so much. It's an honor. Hey, stay standing for just a second. And if you can just raise your hands. If you've never done this before, don't worry. We're not waiting for aliens to zap us or anything like that. But we do believe that God is real. Don't we? Come on, you with me? You believe God is real? And so let's reach out. And we thank you, Father, for this year. God, we thank you for 2018. We thank you for 2019. You're doing a new thing. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Come on, we're not alone. My grandparents are cheering us on. The Apostle Paul is cheering you on. A great cloud of witnesses. People who've been before us. People who prayed prayers. People who bled for the sake of Christ. We're not alone. If you're feeling alone, you're not. There's a great cloud of witnesses. So throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I'm praying this year we wouldn't be so nice that we tolerate things that we're meant to throw off. Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Come on, fear is done in 2019. That's old. I'm not living with worry anymore. That's old. I'm not stuck in my past. That's old. I'm not stuck in what I did once a long time ago. That's old. Throw it off. And Lord, we enter in. We run the race. Run your race. Run your race. With perseverance. With vision in our heart and minds. Lord, we thank you for all that's ahead of us on the cusp of this new year. In Jesus' mighty name, they all said, amen. Amen. Can you high five five people? High five five people. Grab a seat. Amazing. Thank you, band. Incredible. And hey, if you're here for your first time to church, maybe even second time, can we just give a round of applause, big round of applause for anyone here? First time, we're so glad you came. You're so welcome, and we're excited for this morning. We're in a new series called Seize the Year, and it's going to be an amazing series. We have Pastor Jake Sweetman next week, and then other people after that, which will be cool. And today, we're talking about Dream Big. Dream big. And I had a big dream to get married one day. And I am married to Jessen Lee. Her last name was Pipicello, if you don't know, we're married. Her last name was Pipicello, like I said, but, you know, we got married. So now it's Lee. Okay, that's good. All right, okay. And Pipicello is Italian. Any Italians? Any Italians? Yeah, come on, Italy. One person's like, whoa! Definitely Italian. Okay, so, but Jessen's last name was Pipicello, which means little chili in Italian. Isn't that cute? That's sweet. And I know for a fact that they're the hottest. Yes. Let's read the Bible. Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 1. Any Lukes in here? Okay, we'll pray that Luke comes next week. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, it says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who have highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Fair question. Since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will fall upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month, for no word from God will ever fail. Mary replies, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. You know, at the beginning of a new year, it's good to dream. And we're talking about dreaming big. But like Pastor James was saying, and hey, can we give it up for Pastor James and Pastor Tammy Edwards? And Pastor Phil and Chris, I'm sure watching online, we love you. We're so grateful for you. But like Pastor James was saying, you know, a dream that starts with me and ends with me, no matter the numbers or how we would rank it on an earthly scale, that's a small dream. A dream that's all about me is actually a small dream. If I am the summation, there's a table there. If I am the summation of my dreams this year, then that's a small dream. But I want to dream big. I want a dream that outlives me. I want a dream that goes beyond me. I want a dream that echoes in eternity. I want a dream that is a God-sized dream that does not start and end with me, but I want a dream that starts with God and ends in the lives of others. That's a big dream. And we live in a culture and a society that's all about me and mine. But I would like to set us on a new trajectory into 2019 where we see it differently, where we look at dreams differently. And if you're talking to Mary, as she is about to get married, and God turns up with this dream. And I'm sure that she's about to fulfill a dream. She's about to get married. She's probably imagining the family she's going to have. She's probably really excited about it. But then God, naughty God, turns up and interrupts the whole thing. Because sometimes a God-sized dream feels like an interruption. Sometimes it doesn't look like everything it's going to be. It doesn't look like everything you thought it would be, but God shows up in an interruption. God shows up unexpectedly. And here's Mary, minding her own business, going to marry Joe. It's going to be great. Jewish wedding, let's go. It's going to be awesome. And God turns up and interrupts the whole thing. Thank you. Like God's a bit annoying like that. He'll just interrupt. And I had my plans, but then God shows up with his plans and he interrupts the whole thing. I was catching a plane a while ago, and I was flying from Townsville to Brisbane. Anyone been to Townsville? Okay, anyone been to Brisbane? Okay, a few people, all right. So, catching the plane, go to the airport, lining up to get on the plane. And there's a lot of people, probably 100 people in this queue. It's a long queue, and, you know, tough day. So, walk in and standing there, and in comes this couple, and they are yelling, fighting, screaming. Not nice, like, wah! Just going for it. And we can all see it's kind of embarrassing for them because everyone's watching and they're yelling and it was not nice. But we get onto the plane and I walk up to my seat and who's sitting next to me. And she's not like pretty crying. Some of you cry really pretty. Oh. she is ugly crying. Like, ah! I thought I was at a heavy metal concert. It's just, ah! She is just losing her mind. And I sit down and do what any genius does. And I say, are you okay? I go, there, it'll be okay. And then I put my headphones on and press play and watch the movie, which was very hard and it was very rude of her because she was just crying, ugly crying the whole time while I'm trying to watch this movie. And so I'm watching the movie, get midway through the plane trip, and then tap on the shoulder again. Very rude. And I'm watching, taps me on the shoulder. I'm like, yes. And she's crying. Aah! She says, are you a Christian? Guilty. She says, before I got on the plane, I remember that my grandma's a Christian. I know she prays for me. So I said to God, if you're real, put a Christian next to me on the plane. So I looked at her and I said, I'm your guy. And then we're on the plane and we're talking and she's crying and I'm listening and it's awesome being a Christian. And then so she says to me, you know, oh, things are going really bad. And I said, oh, well, have you ever invited Jesus into your life? She says, no. I said, would you like to do it now? She's like, sure. So right there and then, I led her in a prayer to invite Jesus Christ into her heart. Could feel the presence of God on that plane as we prayed. And then she was moving to Melbourne, so I texted a friend who has a church in Melbourne, and she's going to their church in Melbourne. And it's amazing to me, because I'm on a plane, I'm going somewhere, I'm preaching, and I'm like, wow, you know, my God-sized dream. But then God shows up with an interruption. I wonder how many interruptions there might be in your life that are actually an invitation from God. I wonder how many people we walk by. I mean, I'm thinking I'm going to preach to 1,000 people, but then there's one. And that one is God's priority. That one is that person that God has for you to reach. And it doesn't necessarily look like a big dream. But it's huge. It's not big. It's someone's eternity. It's someone's life after this life. God has a bigger dream than you could even imagine. But it's so big that it's not grounded in just this life. It goes into the next life. And it's annoying because God shows up in interruptions. Jesus turns up one day and the disciples are fishing. And as they are fishing, they're just doing what they do. Jesus rocks up and says, hey, you two, come follow me. They're like, who's this crazy person? Anyway, they get up and they follow him. He says, I will make you fishers of men. So God interrupts what they're doing, and then he puts them on a new trajectory, but he doesn't get rid of what they were good at. He just gives it a higher purpose. Woo! So God comes up and takes what you're good at. Listen, when you become a Christian, don't become boring. Don't stop doing what you're good at. If you can talk the foundations off a building, then God will use that. If you can talk underwater, God will use that. If you're good with money, God will use that. If you're good with people, God will use that. If you're good at whatever you're good at, God doesn't want you to stop it. He just wants to give it a higher purpose. He wants to give it a God-sized dream that's going to echo into eternity. So you can start a connect group around something you're good at. Sport, whatever it is, don't lay down what you're good at. Bring it to God and watch him give it a higher purpose. And so the tough thing about God-sized dreams is they often feel like an interruption. They often feel like God's just coming in and interrupting what you had planned to do, but that's exactly right. If it feels like an interruption, you're actually on the right track. The other annoying thing is that a God-sized dream often creates more problems. God, take away all my problems. And then God fulfills a dream in your life, and it's full of problems. I remember I got ordained to be youth pastor a few years ago, and you know, it was a great day. It was a beautiful day. It was lovely. It was romantic. It was exciting. And then the next day, all hell broke loose. I lost all my friends. All my friends cost me a lot and brought a lot of problems with it. And now I'm thinking, God, I'm stepping into what you've called me to do, but there's problems. It comes with problems. Why did it come with problems? I look back on that time now and realize that actually the thing I'm most thankful for is not all my successes, but actually those problems. Because problems will teach you things that success cannot. Problems will teach you how to look to God when you're just going fine. We don't. Don't act like you do. You don't. So sometimes we need problems, and God-sized dreams come with problems. If there's problems, don't worry. That's probably a God-sized dream. And so the problem comes in. And I mean, talk to a guy called David. I don't know if you know David, guy in the Bible. If you don't know him, he's a young man. He's like 15 years old, and he turns up, and he turns up to the war between the Israelites and the Philistine army. And his brothers are all in the army, and they are looking across the way, and they are looking at the giant Goliath. And Goliath is the warrior for the Philistines, and he's looking down on them. And as they're standing, they're trained warriors, trained killers, trained fighters. They're looking and they look at Goliath and they look at themselves. And then they look at Goliath and then they look at themselves. And then they look at Goliath, they look at themselves, and then 15-year-old Ruddy David turns up. He looks at Goliath, and then he looks at God. And then he looks at Goliath, and then he looks at God. And then he looks at Goliath, and then he looks at God, and he says, I'm going to kill this sucker, because if God is for me, who can be against me? Problems will help you realize how big God is. And so David had this ability to look to God. And that's the problem with the God-sized dream. It often brings more problems. These kind of things don't come to affirm or help you feel like you're not able. In fact, they come to make you able. There has to be giants. There has to be. But God will enable you and equip you to overcome every giant. 2019. I mean, talk to Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross, and he's looking at the cross, and what looks like a dead end, like literally, it's death. That's a dead end. And he's looking at it, and all the disciples, all his crew, they all leave. They all abandon. But what they didn't see is that Jesus didn't see to the cross. He could see through the cross. Like Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus had a vision of the future, and what looked like a dead end was actually a doorway. It was actually a door. God brings doors into dead ends. If you've got Jesus in your life, every wall in front of you, it's not a wall, it's actually a door. If you bring Christ into it, it'll look like a door. What felt like you can't move forward, God can bring you through when you bring Jesus into the middle of your life. Amen. And that's the problem. Problem with God's side dream, it brings problems. But for every problem God has the ability to bring you through. The other problem is that often they seem beyond your ability. And listen, that's because they are. A God-sized dream isn't within your reach. It isn't within your ability. It's beyond you. It's greater than you. And it's beyond your power. Mary says to the angel, she says, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" God, have you lost your mind? Are you crazy? How will this be? The angel answered, and this is the answer, "The Holy Spirit will fall upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." How's it going to happen? It's going to happen by the power of God. The Christian life isn't hard, it's impossible. That's why you need the power of God. If you came into 2019 trying in your own strength, this is a year to operate in God's power. This is a year, like Pastor Phil said, it's beginning to rain. This is a year where I turn my eyes and my attention to heaven and start to receive the power of God. I'm gonna explode. I'm gonna preach my brain out. I'm so excited about the fact that God's power can do the impossible in your life. And if we sit back watching, we will miss the very power that God has to bring you into and bring you through. Woo. So you need power. You need the power of God. Ephesians 3:20. And look, I don't want to be just a nice Christian. If this is just about being nice, I quit. Right? If we just came here just to have a nice time and everything's nice and I quit. I went to the physio one time and I hurt my knee. And so she was working on my knee and I'm lying there and she says, "You know, what do you do for work?" I said, "Oh, I'm a pastor." And she goes, "Oh, that is so nice. Church is amazing. It's so nice. Everyone claps and it's really nice and everybody's nice." And I vomited in my mouth. If this is just about being nice, Jesus, I'm sure he was nice. I'm sure he's a really nice guy. I bet he is. But listen, when Jesus turned up, blind eyes were opened. Dead people rose. People were set free by the power of God. This isn't just some nice Christian faith. We didn't come here just to have a nice... We came here to experience the power of God. And the power of God dwells on hunger. How much do you want it? How much do you want it in 2019? How sick and tired are you of going through the motions? How sick and tired are you of the old things? Come on, God will use your frustration. He's not afraid of it. God will use the things you're annoyed at. He's not afraid of it. God will use the things you're sick and tired of. God will use this stuff and he'll take you into a place where you stop tolerating things that you're meant to rule over. I'm sorry for getting so excited this morning, but I can't help it. Because when you bring Jesus into your life, you're not meant to live a weak, boring Christian life. It's meant to be an adventure. It's meant to be dangerous. Dangerous Christianity is what I want. I want an adventure. I want things that scare me. I want dreams that scare me. I want to think about Sydney in a new way. I don't want to just see thousands of people. I want to see millions of people turning to Christ. Paul said, it's nearly over, thousands of years ago. He said, these are the last days. If Paul said those were the last days, these must be the last seconds. And we do not need a powerless church. A church is not a building. A church is a body. Church is people. People who know God. Look, don't come here just to know about him. We don't want you to know about God and be able to quote 1,000 things and tell us all about him. That's not why we're here. We're here that you would know him and know his power. And the world needs a church filled with power. A church needs a world on fire. A church needs the Holy Spirit. They turn into all sorts of things, drugs, alcohol, addiction, turning to all sorts of darkness. We need the light of Christ to shine brightly in our minds and stand up and be the people that God has made us to be. Mary said, how will this happen? How? Have you felt like that? God, how? Maybe you're here today and you look at your marriage and you think, how? Look at your family, look at your children, people who've walked away, and you think, how? Look at your business, and you feel like, how? You look at things in your own life, and you think, how? You look at how your mind is, and you think, how? How? But God does have an answer to your how, to your question. And the answer is not 7 more steps from BuzzFeed.com. It is not 5 more poems and 10 more things to do. It is not. It is not a new system and it's not a new structure. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. And that's the problem with a God-sized dream. It's always beyond your ability. It's always beyond your ability. Don't act surprised when it feels beyond your ability. That's exactly right. Exactly right. But you know, you look at Mary, and it says that, you know, the angel says, hey, Mary, you know, you're highly favored, and so here's a God dream. And I'm looking at that thinking, okay, well, what was it about Mary? Because, you know, there's something about Mary. Great movie. There's something about Mary. What attracted this crazy God dream that she would not just have a family, but her family would raise the Savior of the world. She would get married and she would be a mother, but she would be the mother to the Son of God. What was it about her? And I believe the reason for her selection is revealed in this response. Here it is, that she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Mary's what I like to call AB positive. AB positive is a blood type, and it's a rare blood type, but it helps a lot of people. And spiritually speaking, Mary was AB positive. She's kind of rare, but helped a lot of people because she was two things: available, and she believed God. She was available, and she believed God. And I wonder, in 2019, let's make our lives available again. Let's make our lives available to God again. And we live in such a busy world. Have we become so busy that we're not available for God? Have we got so much on that we don't have time to be in His house, serve in His house, to make our lives available to God? Second thing is that she believed God. So when the word was given to her, she believed it. She agreed with it. Belief is really agreeing with God. When I agree with His word. And the best way you can agree is actually to speak with your mouth. Speak it over your life. I am loved by God. I am healed. I am strong. And start to agree with God. Don't explain it. Don't rely on logic. Don't try and understand it. Agree with it. And we spend a lot of time agreeing with a lot of different things, but it's time to agree with God. It's time to agree with God. And it can be hard sometimes because we look at what has been and disappointment. But do not let disappointment stop you from believing God. In 2019, she was available and she believed God. I'm praying that we could be those kind of people, available and be believing believers.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media. and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.